Chapter 1. An errant breeze unfurled her loosely belted robe as Jess dipped down to pick up the newspaper snagged between budding azalea branches near the front step. She savored the touch of her nakedness as she retied her robe and smiled, rested after the deep sleep that always followed making love with Arthur. His arrival in the early morning hours after a late flight home had been a surprise. She remembered how her skin had tingled as she'd woken to his touch, their bodies instantly aroused, hungry to satisfy themselves and each other. It had been a while, but worth the wait. She pondered the possibility that the sex had been good because no words had been spoken, body language all they had needed. Of late, that was the safest communication between them. She went back inside, started coffee, and considered the rare luxury of the Saturday ahead. Their son Tom away at baseball camp, their daughter Beth off at Stanford, and Arthur in town. She carried the newspaper to the bedroom, shivering as she dropped her robe on the floor near her nightgown, and slipped back into bed to spoon Arthur and extend the mood.
"Your feet are cold."
"Exactly why I'm here." She giggled and planted baby kisses on his shoulders, still youthful from years of hockey, now some 30 years earlier.
"Paper here."
Arthur sat up and pulled it from the middle of the bed, forcing Jess to adjust her position.
"And did I hear you start coffee?"
He yawned, looked past her at the bedside clock, and flinched.
"Is it really 10:15? I've got to get to the lab."
He gave her the briefest of kisses and hightailed it to the shower. She followed him into the bathroom, already losing hope.
"You know, you just flew into town. Maybe you could take the day off for a change and spend some time with your wife?"
"Can't hear you. Can I have coffee ready to go in a thermal mug?"
And that was that.
No surprise to Jess.
They again went their separate ways, she to the grocery store and dry cleaner, and Arthur to the lab for a few hours. After a mid-afternoon lunch together in the kitchen, Jess saw the opportunity to nail down the family calendar for the next few months. It was always complicated, and as Beth neared the end of her sophomore year and her upcoming theater performance, and Tom approached his senior year of high school, they had important dates to prioritize that spring.
"Aha, gotcha, you're here, so let's do this thing."
Jess grabbed the calendar posted on the bulletin board above the kitchen corner office with an eye on Arthur.
"I've got to go in a minute. Can this wait?"
he groaned, taking his lunch dishes to the sink and dropping them in noisily.
"It will take only 5 minutes, and no, it can't wait. Your haircut isn't until 4.
"Can't you just do it?"
He was backing out of the kitchen.
"Nope. This is our family, not my family. And if I schedule something that doesn't work for you, well, we know how that ends."
She feigned pulling her hair out and put her arms around him to corral him back to the kitchen work island, placing the calendar in the center. His body was rigid as he perched on the lip of a stool. Exhaling loudly, he went through the mail stacked on the island and responded in monosyllables when prodded. Jess kept her eyes on the calendar, quickly transcribing the decisions, as she knew he would not indulge her for long. They made plans to meet at Stanford for Beth's play in April. Arthur would fly in from a meeting, Jess from their home in St. Louis. Tom's baseball games and prom night were still not sorted properly, but they had some luck with Arthur's schedule around their son's debate tournament. Jess wondered how they had ever been able to work any adults-only time into their schedule. She turned the page to July and pointed at the big circle in the middle.
"I guess we'll have a major celebration when the merger actually happens."
"You mean if it happens?" Arthur challenged,
a hard edge in his voice. Jess knew he was concerned his academic career would lose its luster when a large private healthcare system took over his university hospital. And the fact that Jess worked as a consultant representing Midwest Health, the very system in question, certainly didn't help matters.
"Don't be silly. There's no stopping it now," Jess said, sorting through Tom's college application papers to check fall deadlines.
"You sound sure of yourself."
Arthur's voice rose.
"And you don't have a clue how wrong it is, do you?"
He threw the sorted mail down in a huff,
empty envelope scattering onto the floor.